there's like a unifying factor across all of the places we all live, which has kind of brought us together.
One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. It was grit.
Okay, well, we're actually back. A month later, also interesting.
Everything is a victim right now, I guess.
The sort of lighthearted coincidence here is that this is episode 19 of our podcast, and the reason it took so long to happen is because of COVID-19. So I don't know what that means.
Whoa. But yeah. Whoa.
There's that.
Yeah, I remember if you go to our last podcast, I think we had just kind of briefly mentioned it, but it was like, I mean, just how, like, I think how everybody sort of has been approaching this from when it started to now, like, you can just tell by like what we said in that podcast like a month ago, not taking it this serious. You know, I definitely was, I was taking it more seriously than most, but like, it was kind of like not a joke, but like, you know, like, oh, it's this thing that's kind of becoming a, like a big deal, you know, overseas, but it doesn't really affect us.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it was definitely not what it is now.
Yeah. I think that's the interesting thing here is like, there's sort of like understanding or trying to wrap your head around the magnitude of this problem versus like, you know, I feel like taking it seriously almost is like a different dimension of this. So it's like, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, within a month, we were like recording in our office and now we've been at home for 3 weeks, which is probably why we haven't recorded. Obviously, we're trying to figure out how to actually do that and like what schedules are doing. But it's kind of like the magnitude of the problem is growing, but a lot of it is just people's ability to comprehend and appreciate that magnitude. And then there's like a separate track of like trying to downplay it and not take it seriously and, you know, make it seem like it's sort of invented or overhyped. So there's a lot of different things at play, but.
Well, I think we've all gone through like phases. Like when you first heard about it, it was definitely very much like, you know, this is just a thing like overseas, like in China, you know, there's been other stuff like this, like whatever. And everybody's running businesses. So we were having, you know, some of our best months ever. So we, you know, we were just focused on all that stuff. And then you kind of gravitate into the phase of like, well, I definitely did at least, where like I was like, okay, this is like going to be a real thing that it's coming and it's not going to be good. But it still had not come yet, right? Like it still wasn't in the US really. Maybe there was like one person that had it or something like that.
Well, and I think remember. That's like, that's the issue too, is that it was, I think, right. Already.
Yeah.
Like, no one knew. So.
Exactly. And then you go through the Twitter phase or just the news cycle phase. I just remember like there was like a Sunday night and it was like Tom Hanks got it. The NBA season got canceled. Like the Masters got canceled. This has all happened in like one night. And it was like, holy crap. Like, I don't know why that makes it hit you like more than anything else. But for some reason, like seeing things like that happen that are like the effects of this suddenly make it feel more real. And then you're in the news cycle wave and like all you can do is like you're just all day looking at Twitter and, you know, New York Times, CNN, everything. You're just like reading through stuff. And I feel like I was in that phase for like a good like week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm currently in the phase of being completely burnt out from that stuff and not acting like it's not happening out there, but trying to almost like for my own mental health, like act like it's not happening. Not in the way that I prepare, but like just not thinking about it, basically.
Yeah, I think acknowledging the limits of what you can do is a healthy thing to understand. I mean, it can feel like you might be in denial or, you know, sort of ignoring it, but I think those are different. So I think, yeah, like coming to terms with the fact that you can only do so much and, you know, you focusing on doing those things and then otherwise just trying to go about whatever your normal life looks like these days, I think is, at some level, that's all we can do. So it sometimes feels like if I can somehow read all the news, then like that's somehow helping. But generally, I don't know. Other than keeping up with, you know, latest updates and stuff, of course. But
right.
Delving into all the nightmarish stories and dark twists,
the worst
and turns,
case scenarios. Just,
yeah, it doesn't really help the day to day. So
like, I think at least in the US, this is definitely not like a fact. This is just what it seems to be. But it's like, it seems like there's a lot of like very young people that aren't taking it super seriously because it's like, oh, I'm young, I'm not, you know, this isn't a big deal for me. And then there's like older people that aren't taking it seriously because they listen to certain things out there and certain people that kind of promote this idea that it's overblown. And so like I've had family that is in that category. So part of, I think I've gone like a little bit harder at this and like reading stuff because I'm trying to like inform them because I feel like they're not looking at those things. And then, you know, at first they weren't taking it seriously. And so they were still like going to the gym and stuff. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I had to tell my parents that if they went to the gym anymore, like they can't come over and like see our daughter. So they stopped going. But like I had to like put that ultimatum on them.
Well, yeah. I mean, so much of the personal, like in part because of obviously we're both in the US and in part because of the way our country has or hasn't responded, obviously it's made it kind of a bottom-up effort. And so it becomes like, mm-hmm. it starts as personal choices that everyone's making on the ground. And it's weird with that orientation because like, you know, my day-to-day, if I were to just keep doing what I normally do, like it doesn't seem like this is anywhere close to me. And even if I were to get sick, you know, more than likely I would be okay. I mean, I could not be, but I think that's the part that becomes a problem is because it feels like you can calculate the risk, but so much of the risk is the spread and not like the individual cases or lack thereof. And I think that's what, it's just more proof that like we as humans are just like really bad at wrapping our head around that kind of stuff that's like bigger than us and exponential growth. And
yeah,
you know, like the odds are that like if anyone got sick, you know, it might be okay. Or, you know, maybe even no one gets sick because there's not that much surface area of like engagement across your little, you know, scope of people. But it's like the whole point is that it's not just for you or just for your, you know, family. It's like for the world at large.
Right.
So it's such a weird thing to like grasp.
Well, it's definitely a weird thing because people are generally like selfish, right? So it's like it's about me and not about everybody else. So like it runs hard against that,
especially in the US. Like that's,
yeah,
that's like our, for better or for worse, it's built,
yeah,
into
for
the...
better a lot of, yeah, for a lot of reasons it's better, right? Not the selfish part, but like the idea that, you know, the government doesn't tell you what to do and all that kind of stuff, right? Like that you have freedom to kind of do what you want for the most part, and that's a good thing. But obviously in other cases it could definitely be just like anything else, like it can be good or bad.
Yeah, like, you know, we have laws that tell us what we can and can't do to some degree. Sure. So there's mm-hmm. obviously room for that. And it's also weird as like someone who's not in this field, of course, mm-hmm. like it's not something I ever spend time thinking about. And if it ever enters my realm, it's so far out of my depth of like, I don't understand anything about this and it wouldn't be productive for me to try. So I never really have spent time thinking about it. But there are people who literally dedicate their lives to this kind of stuff. And this is interesting. Like they become lifted up in these times. And it's interesting to see how they may or may not be heard like across different countries' responses to this. So it's
totally
been an interesting like case study in like national characteristics across the globe.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, it's a terrible thing what's happening. And it seems like we're kind of right in the heat of it. Obviously, the U.S. has the most cases in the entire world. And we're supposedly in this like 2 week span that's supposed to be like the worst in terms of new cases and deaths and things like that. So it's kind of like the craziest time. But yeah, so then you have all this crazy stuff happening. And we've actually had somebody on the team that had it. So like their whole family had it. So we're already fully remote, which was, I guess, about as good as it can be in terms of like moving to this whole setup for most people. But we have people in different countries. And so we're trying to like pay attention to what's happening in those countries too, not just in the US. So like I was talking to some of our folks in the Philippines yesterday and they were just asking them about, you know, what they're hearing, like what's going on, what are the quarantines like there? And just, you know, generally just like chatting with them about like, well, how do you feel? Like, you know, they want some advice on, you know, when you go to the grocery store, what do? Like that kind of stuff, right? Like, oh, I wipe down all these things and blah, blah, blah. We're trying to stay in touch with them as much as possible and find out what's going on in those places. You made a little Slack, or I guess you like found a Slack bot or something to give like, I guess, data measurements on like new cases and stuff for each of the different countries that make up like where our team comes from. Right? What was that thing called?
Yeah, it was just like a Zapier thing I threw together. And then I actually like, I just turned it off the other day because I was like,
oh, you did?
I feel yeah, like it's sort of like, it was in that wave of like, if you're going to be checking it, because I found myself like wanting to check that stuff like a lot early. And then it's to the point now where I'm like, it's easy to get that information and I'm trying not to check it as frequently. It's not, you know, valuable. I guess at that point, it wasn't clear how fast it was going to get bad in all the different places that our team is, but that's pretty clear now. So
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's trying to stay in tune. And I think it's kind of cool. I mean, obviously it'd be better if none of this was happening, but there's like a unifying factor across all of the places we all live, which has kind of brought us together. And I guess that goes for outside of the team too, of course, like the world is kind of united against this thing. So it feels good, like on a human level, but
yeah,
it would be nice if
it happened. Sure. Yeah. I guess every small business right now, whether you're in software or your restaurant or gym or whatever it is, like obviously everybody is struggling right now. Some probably much more than others. Like we've been impacted a little bit, but definitely not to the extent that, you know, some of these other companies are probably being impacted. So we've been pretty fortunate there. And we had been also fortunate to like save up like a pretty big nest egg in terms of cash reserves that we weren't really sure what we were going to use on. And now obviously we do know what we're going to use it on. So we've definitely been fortunate from that perspective, but we've also been trying to, I guess, like in terms of like the team and the business, like, so one thing we did was try to like stay in touch with employees as much as possible, like we just talked about. But do you want to talk a little bit about like, I guess when it first happened, we tried to help everybody out in terms of like a stipend and all that jazz. Do you want to talk about like the message we send and all that kind of stuff, or like what we're trying to do in terms of, you know, how we talk about it with the rest of the team?
For sure. Yeah. This has been interesting to me. So it's like, I guess specifically to what we did. So I don't remember what week that was now, but it was like the second week of March or something. And
it was when in the US they came out with like the 2 week, not shutdown, but like stay at home type thing.
Yeah. So it was like that week getting a little more real, I guess, in the US, or at least finally getting acknowledged more. So we like started talking about like, how do we want to approach this, and decided to like, the first thing we need to do is like get everyone on the same page and kind of put out like, you know, a little kind of internal communication that's just like, this is what's happening. Obviously, everyone already knows that. We're in like as good a position as we've ever been to weather something like this, not knowing, of course, like how quickly or how slowly this is going to take and if there is a normal, like what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So, but it's like all things considered, we're in as best position as we could be. I think when we were starting to put that together, we were like trying to think of good ways to help, first of all, just like address this thing head on and kind of open up the communication on it. And I think that's like a huge thing that it's been interesting to see which companies do that or don't, and like how deliberate or accidental that is. But we decided to do that, like be very transparent with that and kind of open up the communication. And then we, like you said, we gave everyone basically a little extra stipend to go like stock up. I mean, obviously use it for whatever you want, but presumably try to stock up and stay home.
As it turns out, and we were thinking like, oh, it'll be like 2 weeks. And obviously it's past 2 weeks and it's likely going to go way past 2 weeks, way past like multiple months probably. So maybe not enough stipend there, but we don't have endless resources.
And we're trying to be smart about like, we want to preserve the cash that we have to like keep the business going and like maybe even growing if there's any good candidates for that. Obviously it's a little tight, but at least give people a little extra something. But I think the most important thing is like being open about it. This is such a human crisis that the only response that feels warranted in my book is a human response. It's just been interesting to hear from like other small business people or other people in bigger companies, and also just read in the news about bigger corporations, like how people are trying to either kind of sweep this under the rug or address it head on. Or yeah, it's just crazy to me that the default response for more people is not just like, hey, we're all humans. Like, we should expect that people's productivity is probably going to drop. We should expect that people's, you know, they're uneasy, they're worried about, of course, like work and income, but obviously even more, you know, importantly, like the health of them and their families. So that just feels like the only thing that matters. Like, if we can try to keep things sailing along on the business side, but, you know, we're all just people at the end and we're trying to get through this together.
Totally. I mean, that's kind of a hard thing too. Like, it's hard to, maybe I felt this, I guess, a little bit like earlier on in this whole thing, in terms of like, I don't know, I went through sort of a phase of like definitely focusing more on that stuff and not work as much. I'm guessing a lot of people went this route, because at first you're sort of scared. You're like, what's going on? Like, and you're just constantly paying attention to the news cycles and trying to figure out what's happening and all that. And obviously, like, preserving you and your family's own health But then at least like the last week or so, I feel like both being burnt out and also just being like, okay, I sort of feel like I understand what's happening more so and like what is probably going to happen. Like I just have a better idea of like the projections of this and timeline, even though there's still a lot of uncertainty. And then it's like, okay, we got to like, we need to formulate like what we're going to do and take like as a business and take next steps and like, you know, make this happen. Right. And for us, it's definitely a little bit different approach. It's not the same approach that we had 3 months ago, which is like almost, I would say, purely offense, right? Like, how are we going to grow to this? Like, what are we going to do to grow? You know, everything was like focused on growth. And of course, we want to grow and we want to bring on new customers and stuff right now. But I think the mindset has to shift a little bit to like, how do we preserve like where we're at? Like, how do we do our best to kind of like stay at this level, both in terms of, you know, obviously you're not going to be able to add as many customers now for most businesses. So you got to figure out how to maintain your current customer base and focus on them. And, you know, obviously look at all your costs and make, you know, cuts where you need to. For us, we've kind of looked, you know, we don't want to do that at all on the actual people side. So we focused that on like the technology side and looked at, you know, where can we, you know, we talked to like a bunch of our vendors and tried to see where we could maybe defer payments and things like that. And like, do you do any discounts? Like, and the cool thing is a lot of companies actually have been pretty helpful in that. And so we've also tried to do the same in certain situations. So I guess that's sort of how we're approaching this. And then obviously you have the whole, like every business owner right now is likely thinking about like cash, right? And like what you have in the bank and reserves. And like we said, like we've already got pretty good reserves based on what we were doing prior to this. But, you know, one big thing that a lot of people are talking about is like the loans that are going around, at least in the US. And so we're starting to work on that. It's like a complete, as you would expect, it's very much kind of a messy
slapdash
process. Yeah. Like slap together, no big deal. Like, you know, $1 trillion slapped together and like, you know, everybody trying to figure out how they can apply. Can they apply? When they apply, did it actually work? What's the process for applying? Or like, what do you have to do after you apply? Like, what docs do you need to send in? Like, we're sort of, I guess, probably halfway. It feels like we're like maybe halfway through the process with Bank of America. So we have been doing it through them. And now we're like trying to get all these like tax documents in to like kind of prove out like what our payroll really is and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, I've talked to probably like, I'm on a bunch of different like Slack channels with like other entrepreneurs and stuff. And I'm like talking to all these different people trying to, and nobody has any idea.
Well,
what's going on.
The banks, the institutions involved in this don't even really know. I mean, it's
exactly,
there's so many moving parts and most of these organizations are famously bad at this kind of stuff anyway. So it's just like kind of a recipe for disaster, but hopefully, you know, we'll all figure it out together. I've been seeing a lot of different content out, you know, with the theme of like good is better than perfect sort of thing, which I totally agree with. Like the speed of getting something going is like slightly more important than perfecting some system.
Yeah.
I mean, it is good to see like the government kind of unifying behind this and as it should, but trying to like get solutions out there to people as fast as we can to try to limit the damage. But yeah, I think it's interesting too. And like, maybe we can get into this on another episode, but like, as we kind of figure out how more of this ends up playing out, but it's interesting because I'm sure if you listen back to a few episodes, we'll randomly make reference to like being conservative on the cash side, but then also having like pangs of sort of, should we be fueling the fire more? Like, is it irresponsible to not spend money to grow faster? And like our default has always been pretty conservative in that way. But I mean, yeah, we've talked about like, are we being stupid? Should we be spending this money?
We've been very conservative, not even like pretty conservative. For us, it's just been kind of normal, I guess. And maybe we feel like we've been maybe a little bit too conservative. But when, I mean, would you just look at other companies and then also like talking to other like entrepreneurs and, you know, other companies, like we've been far more conservative to the point where like I've been told by multiple other like entrepreneurs or some like investor types that we talk to that, you know, basically they said what you just said, right? Like there's a fine line between being conservative and then like being stupid. Or somebody else said something like penny wise and pound foolish or something. Yeah, something like that to us. And, you know,
and
I don't think about that stuff.
Sort of like, obviously in boom times that feels like a safe bet. And then suddenly this turned on a dime, pun intended. And like, we're now sitting in a decent position because of our penny-wise decision making. And I think also even on like the customer side, like you talked about, like, you know, shifting the mindset from like, how do we grow? How do we grow? How do we grow? Which we already kind of like have a different, you know, relationship to anyway. But everyone's kind of trying to like keep a hold of what they've got at a minimum. Mm-hmm. And I think even on that side, like we prioritize customers and we always have like taken that very seriously. Obviously, we talk about intercom and all that stuff, like really spending a lot of our time talking to, supporting our customers. And it's just been interesting to see companies that operate in a different way, like growth at all costs, raise and spend as fast as you can. And like, you know, new revenue is highly prioritized, whereas like churn and some other things might be a little less important. And it's just interesting how like, obviously this is a seismic shift, but it's like, this isn't good for anyone. And this isn't like from a business standpoint, like no one wants this to be happening, but
no,
kind of like going slowly, being conservative and focusing on customers and supporting them, like is actually paying off, I guess, as much as it could be at this point.
Yeah. I don't know any like heavily backed VC founders that have done this personally, but you see it like in the news a ton and on Twitter and all these places. But it seems like, you know, if you were VC backed and, you know, you'd raised a decent amount of money, like basically the game plan now, and like obviously there's going to be a couple companies here and there that somehow like they actually kill it during this time, right? Like if you're, you know, Zoom or a company like Zoom, or even like Tuple, I think we're on right now, they're probably doing really well. Those kind of companies will probably do pretty well during this, but those are kind of the rarities. But some of these other companies that won't do well, or just, you know, even just do average, but they're heavily VC backed, like the game plan for them now is like, okay, we got to lay off like, you know, 40 to 50% of our company, like to keep costs down. And then whatever money we have left from, you know, the money that we raise, like we're going to live on that and then go try to raise another round at really terrible terms because they just got cut in half by what's going on in the world. And so all of a sudden, like they're in a pretty crappy position, right? You know, a year down the road or whatever, you know, given that they stay in business. But companies that were profitable or had been really conservative, bootstrapped, while they'll be hurt by this, you know, I mean, if you can get out of this and just having kind of gone through your reserves or whatever that you saved, and then you can get out of this without having to raise money and all that kind of stuff, like you're in a pretty solid position, potentially. Obviously, there's still a lot of uncertainty, but you're in potentially a really solid position kind of growing out of this recession that we're in or whatever this is.
Yeah, it's almost some sort of dark humor to see, like, just, I don't know, the shift from like the pure capitalistic, like VC, let's go raise money, spend it, you know, make 10 bets. One will hopefully become a billion, multi-billion dollar company. And then like suddenly all those same companies are hopeful that these bills can incorporate, like don't exclude them from getting loans and stuff. When like the business model is basically like raise money as fast as you can and spend it as fast as you can. And I'm not saying that's bad. It's just like obviously very risky. And this is a very unlikely event, but here we are. So
yeah, apparently VC backed companies are not excluded from these loans now. So
I don't know. I still, yeah, even for that, like I've read 10 different things on that. So I have no idea. Like it's so unclear. But I mean, as people start getting it, you know, we'll start to see people actually getting it or not getting it and see how this all actually like comes to fruition. Because I've seen things about like VC portfolios, like their portfolio companies count toward the employee headcount, stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know if that's...
Oh, yeah. I've been talking to a founder. They like recently started. They're like two people. I think prior to this, they were trying to hire some people. Maybe they still are. But they just raised like, I can't remember what it was, maybe like $2 million, $3 million seed round or whatever. And they're applying for this. And I'm just like, what? You just raised $3 million and you're applying for a loan for like, maybe you'll get, like you have two people on payroll. Like maybe you're going to get like 25 grand, 30 grand or something. Like,
and probably you're paying themselves market, you know, market or above market with that VC money.
Oh, they are. I saw that too.
It's also interesting. Like I've seen certain people even on Twitter just being like, hey, if you have a big war chest and you're VC backed, like just don't apply. Like it's interesting to see like what we feel the need to say or almost have to say, because people are just like, yeah, I'll just apply and see what happens, you know, not trying to think critically, like, do I need this? Should I even throw my hat in the ring on this? And
I guess there's still like a lack of like information coming from the people supplying these loans, the government. So it's like, if you're saying like anyone that wants a loan can get a loan, then it's like, okay, well then I'll do it. But if you're saying it's like, which they've kind of said, like it's first come, first serve, but then they've kind of said, we're going to do this first round. And then they're, you know, we're thinking we're going to do another round, or at least that's what the president has said, which I don't know. But then it's like, I don't know, like there's only a certain amount, like it should go to the people that actually need it, not people that have like $3 million in the bank and they have, you know, a couple employees.
And you would hope that, like, if we had $3 million in the bank, I don't think we'd be applying for a loan. You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Yeah, not with two people on payroll.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people listening to this too, but we have a little bit different situation in terms of this because we are remote and we're in the U.S. The only people that count for these loans in the U.S. are like your payroll, US like payroll. W-2 payroll, and then I think contractors that are in the U.S. So we have, you know, a bunch of folks that are... none of which are in the US. So really all that counts is, you know, our own payroll. So it's not the greatest in terms of this loan and sort of how we have things set up, but
yeah, I mean I understand that like that boundary makes sense to me. It's just
totally,
kind of a bummer.
Totally.
But yeah, I think mostly I would say probably like kind of what I was alluding to before, we're all like humans in this together. I think at least from what I'm seeing, and maybe I'm getting like a narrow slice, but it feels like generally people are doing quote the right thing here, and like,
yeah,
you know, if you don't need the money, you're not applying, or if you know, if you have a little extra, you're trying to tip more, you're trying to get order, you know, mm-hmm. delivery or whatever. So it feels like that's generally happening.
Yeah,
which is good.
I think it is. I've actually been I've been in some little like Twitter like war with some guy, like some journalist guy, which I would not advise people to do. It's a waste, waste of time.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
It's one of those like things you get into and then you're like, wait, okay, I'm already in this thing. Like, I got to win this argument. Like, I'm not getting out of this stupid thing, even though I know it's completely, like, dumb and a waste of my time. I'm, like, into it. Like, I went to the Beltline because I was ordering from a restaurant off the Beltline because I'm trying to order from local grocery stores, not, like, the big ones. Like, go to local grocery stores, go to, like, local restaurants and get takeout and, like, all these things. Like, I'm trying to do that as much as possible. So, anyways, we went to this place off the Beltline, which is like this big kind of long trail in Atlanta that's very popular that a lot of people, you know, go and run on and all that stuff. And there's a bunch of restaurants off the side of it. But I went and like picked up a pizza and some journalist came by and like he was taking pictures of different things that he thought looked like, oh, tons of people are out and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, no one's following the rules and all like, and he's like getting all these news cycles because of it. Like all the local news stations. Like I saw on Eater Atlanta that there's all these pictures from him and his tweets and all this stuff. So anyways, I was there and everybody's standing far away from each other. There aren't that many people there. Like, you know, the Beltline when it's like a normal Saturday, it's like insane packed. There's like barely anybody on the Beltline. Everybody's staying away from each other. I was probably 50 feet away from anybody. Everybody's just waiting around to get their pickup, you know, to get their to-go food and stuff. And this guy's going around taking pictures, trying to make it look like it's something that it's not.
Yeah.
And so
ironically also being part of the group of people. So
exactly. It's like, hey, you're there. Yeah. For the most part, what I'm seeing is at least over the past couple of weeks, before that, it was a little bit different. But over the past couple of weeks, I've seen people really like mostly trying to, you know, stay away from each other, stay in, support local businesses, try to like, you know, even in our experience, like there's been a couple of cases where we tried to really try to work with some customers that were very much impacted by this. And then on the flip side, we've had vendors that have been like really good to us too and like let us defer payment. And we got off a call yesterday with our lease is up for our office in Atlanta. And obviously it's a very weird time to renew a lease for a year. So we're having conversations with them about it. And you know, they're like same thing. Like we're all just trying to like work together on this and like nothing is normal about this. And we're just trying to like maybe do some different things to help each other out.
Yeah. It's like everyone wants to pay everyone that they can as much as they can without risking their own livelihoods. So
yeah,
if anyone has a solution to that problem, call me.
Yeah. So anyways, I mean, there's obviously a lot more that we could touch on and talk about. And there's a lot of things that we're trying to do in the business to, you know, continue to try to grow it. And like one of the weird things about this that I think is like as a former salesperson and somebody that sells now, one of the weirdest things about this is like you got to keep the business going and you've got to keep like trying to grow the business because like that's the best thing for everybody that, that works for that business, right? Everybody's getting, you know, everybody has families to support and, you know, needs to make money and all these things. And so you, but at the same time, it's kind of weird to like write content and like kind of business as usual, right? Like trying to like, you know, reach out to people and trying to sell to people and trying to, you know, do different marketing projects. And like, it just feels kind of weird to be doing that while people are dying and they have family members that are dying and people are on lockdown and things are obviously not normal.
Just like, it's interesting to check the inbox and just see, you can just watch like how different companies do or don't, you know, engage with that instinct.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting everything from the same email I've been getting from, you know, XYZ cold sales outreach, you know, for the past 6 months, same exact sort of like campaign or whatever. Or you're getting a ton, obviously, of like, hey, like we're acknowledging this is like a weird time. And just, I guess mostly like some of them are like seem genuine and some of them seem more like, hey, don't forget my brand name while I'm in your inbox.
Yeah. Check out my remote work white book. Or
It's like
white white paper.
Click here for the guide to remote work or whatever. It's like we've got about 1,000 of those now, so perfect.
But yeah, I mean, there is a fine line for sure, but it's definitely hard because you know parts of me feel like I need to do that stuff to like keep the business afloat.
And even like at a more basic level, it's like because what else? Like
what else do you do?
Spinning down the cycle of news and depression is just not a recipe for success. So it's like, let's just do what we normally do. And then you're like, wait, can I do that? Is that the right thing to do? So
totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I've gotten to this point where at first work was like, I didn't have enough brain waves for that. Like there was, it was all spent up and in what was going on. But once I got burnt out from that and I'm like, okay, none of this stuff is going to help. Like reading over all this stuff, it doesn't matter. I just need to like, I want to work as like almost like a distraction and I have a responsibility to make sure that, you know, this company is, you know, bringing in the revenue we have now and hopefully more to support people that work for that company and their families. And all I can really do is be empathetic to customers and empathetic to the situation. And but I've got to like keep rolling. Like I can't really like, I don't really have another choice. And I think it's the right choice as long as you just kind of like go at it with a empathetic lens,
like self-awareness.
I think
it's a little easier for me because my work is generally with like computers and like code and stuff, so I don't have to worry. Like the only people that I interact with regularly are people on the team, so I don't have to worry as much about like perception of, you know, sending that blog out or sending out a cold follow-up or whatever. Like it's definitely easier to just kind of dive into some project. But yeah, I mean, I think obviously we're kind of knee deep in this thing right now and maybe for a while, but we'll try to get back on a regular cadence of recording as I need to get back over to the office at some point and grab my regular mic. So hopefully this sounds okay, but we'll get back going and we can like give updates as to like, I think there's a few other things that are going to like shift obviously as we learn more about these different stimulus things and like as a business, like we see how this plays out over a longer time horizon. So we'll definitely keep the updates going.
Yeah. Since we're all cooped up here, I'd love to get my wife, Toni, on the podcast at some point. She works at Twilio and like they're a public company. Like they got to keep growing and like keep selling. And they have been fortunate that their technologies actually, like in some cases, are this is bringing about like new use cases for like telemedicine and like things like that. But she's had to like, kind of like really get into the like talk to the team about how they should sell during this time and like what the language, the right language should be and how you should be reaching out and all that kind of stuff. So it'd be interesting to hear what she has to say about that stuff and how they're doing it. Like everything that they do, like that CEO at that company is like unbelievable. Like everything that they do is exactly what you should be doing in this scenario.
Yeah.
Some of the ideas that I've had, at least for how we, you know, go about talking to employees and, you know, doing different things has like kind of come from what I've heard him doing. And saying, like, I've just listened to some videos that she'll like play for me and stuff. And I'm like, holy crap. I mean, they obviously have way more resources to do a lot more things, but they definitely have the right approach.
Yeah, it feels like it shouldn't be so refreshing, but it is. And and so we'll take it for what it is and be happy that there are people out there doing it. So,
yeah, for sure. I've got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of documents to throw in this loan thing.
Yeah.
So
great.
And you have to help me. So
let's go. Let's go like lose our minds in weird bank paperwork.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Sweet.
We'll see what happens and we'll give the update later.
All right. Until next time.
All right. Stay safe.
Yep. Bye.